tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is a Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Thursday, which means it is geopolitical day, and who better to talk about geopolitics with than Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rushjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
You know, when you were in the can, you were away, I always tried to imitate your tone of voice. Hello, welcome to the Daily National. You know, I could never quite do it the way you do it, but this tremendous burst of optimism, you know, and energy when you first get started. I'm doing okay. I have to have a heart catheterization next month. So I'm way too young for that. Not to kill the mood here. But I've been up and down since October, but I've still put out a book and have another one on the way, so it hasn't stopped me working.
Well, yeah, you have to keep yourself busy, don't you? In what you were referring to earlier, try to remain cheerful in the face of adversity, as I know you
That's
do
right.
as well with your health issues. And, of course, we're going to be talking about Donald Trump again today, particularly his Board of Peace. You could make a pun on that, couldn't you, and say Donald Trump is Board of Peace, sending his flotilla off to Iran. But, no, we're going to be talking about the Gaza Board of Peace today. We have two articles which we're going to be using. Both come from Global Research. The first one comes from Jonathan Cook, and it was written a couple of days ago, and he says, U.S. President Donald Trump has declared the three-month ceasefire in Gaza a great success and now wants to move on to phase two of his so-called peace plan. What does success look like? Israeli soldiers have killed more than 460 Palestinians since October, including at least 100 children. Israel has leveled another 2,500 buildings, the last of the few that were still standing. According to estimates from the UN Development Programme, on the best-case scenario, it could take 7 years to clear some 60 million tonnes of rubble. Other surveys by the UN suggest a more realistic timetable of 20 years, with 10 years just to clear the unexploded ordnance. The UN's trade and development arm further warns that Israel has razed 70 years of human development in Gaza and destroyed nearly 90% of cropland, leading to the worst economic collapse ever recorded. And amidst this continuing humanitarian catastrophe engineered by Israel through its blockade of food, water, medicines and shelter, at least 8 babies are known to have frozen to death as winter temperatures plummet. Marking the transition to the new phase, Trump announced last Friday a Board of Peace to determine the enclave's future. So, I mean, obviously, this is a little bit biased, the guy that is writing this. But in between that and in between what Donald Trump is saying, we should be able to get to the truth. Donald Trump is saying that it's only going to take 5 years for them to clear everything up, whereas the UN is saying it's going to take 20 years. So it's probably going to take 10 years. Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
First of all, you know, the numbers of deaths always, the official numbers have always bothered me. The official numbers of deaths, like just in this one here, 460 Palestinians since October. It's far higher than that. These are the 460 that they can, that have been registered, that have been tagged. Well, that there are only very few There's no hospital system there anymore. There's no functional anything there anymore. So, the number is much higher. With these last 2,500 buildings, Gaza is now officially flattened entirely. Now, as far as the timetable, this is new for Donald Trump. He's been a real estate developer for a long time, but not necessarily in war-torn areas. When this first started, starting in 2006, I didn't use the word, but when the war started, this war started, I used the word genocide for the first time in a non-ironic way. I'm very careful using that word. It's thrown around all the time. But in this case, it's exactly what it is. And they continue to block food. 8 babies were frozen to death. People think it's warm there all the time. And yet at nighttime, it does get cold. But the numbers, when you see numbers of deaths, wounded, remember, those are only those that they can verify, not those who are buried under rubble. Not those who have been blown to pieces, and it's hard to verify deaths when you don't have a hospital system. You don't have a morgue system. So maybe multiply that by 3 or 4 or more. And then you get the true number. So the number of deaths, the Palestinian number of people that Israel has killed, including, combat deaths. I mean, it's probably more like from the beginning of this war. Something like, 600,000. That makes a lot more sense. They're still throwing around that 70,000 figure. The Board of Peace, Donald Trump tends to overestimate. He seems to think that Hamas has been defeated. They have not been. It's Israel, yet again, who has to remove themselves from Gaza. If anyone's been defeated, it's been the Israelis. They're exhausted. Remember what Iran did to their infrastructure not that long ago. It wasn't in the media, but the Iranian missiles destroyed the military infrastructure of Israel and so many of the oil plants and everything else. They're in an economic free fall. I did a paper not that long ago on Dubai. Why is Dubai suddenly this trendy place? You hear about it everywhere on every show. Every celebrity's talking about it. Well, this is where the billionaire Jews are going. They're leaving Israel. You have an out-migration. I think right now it stands at maybe a million people since this war started. But its wealthy are going to Dubai, turning it into a Jewish enclave. The United Arab Emirates are about as Islamic as I am. They're playing a dangerous game with the Israelis. So, they make plans as if Hamas has been defeated. And they could start ordering people around, and they're in no position to do that.
Well, I guess the alternative view to that is, what sort of position is Hamas to do anything when all the infrastructure is destroyed and everything's been flattened? And the Israeli military may have been taken out, but they've got the American military behind them. Continuing with our quotes here, Trump's Board of Peace has much grander ambitions than simply managing Gaza's takeover. In fact, the enclave and its future is not even mentioned in the board's so-called charter sent out to national capitals. In a leaked invitation to the president of Argentina, Trump referred to the board as a bold new approach to resolving global conflicts. The charter says it will be results orientated and have the true courage to depart from approaches and institutions that have too often failed. As chairman, Trump handpicks the other members. He is reported to have sent out invitations to some 60 national leaders. He can terminate their participation whenever he sees fit. He decides when the board sits and what it discusses. He alone has a veto. His term as chair, it seems, may extend even beyond his time as US president. Members are granted a 3-year term. A permanent seat at Trump's new alternative to the UN Security Council can be bought for $1 billion in cash funds. And again, when you actually have a look at the writing in this charter, it says that anybody can join and they can make a donation. So I'm not quite sure what it means here when it says it could be bought for $1 billion. Perhaps they're saying they will take a donation, but it's implied that you have to actually make that donation. So I'm unsure about that. Maddie, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that's just the entry fee. Now, the major media is saying this is how Donald Trump is going to stay in power in some sense after his term is over. Now, when I first read this, I wanted to look beyond Gaza. Yeah, this is a genocidal group with an almost entirely Jewish charter membership. However, this is deliberately meant to challenge the UN and the ICC. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Take Gaza out of the picture. This would be somewhat of a vaguely conservative UN run by Donald Trump. The UN has a terrible record to begin with. The ICC is not really a court. It's just a NATO organization. Remember, this is a challenge to NATO, too. I think Donald Trump just came up with a list of 60 international organizations that conflict with U.S. interests, and I think it's great. The ICC, the criminal court, and the Hague, is not, they have no real rule. It's like Nuremberg. There's no clear rules of evidence. I mean, I've read through there on the Cambodian case, for example, things like this. They decide what the rules of evidence are as it comes up. It's not like an American court or a British court whatsoever. Now, I'm suspicious, but it looks like the UN has some competition. NATO, ICC. I'm not sure where their forces are coming from. You know my opinion on international law. It's nonsense. When I was in grad school, I took a high-level class on it with the unpleasant David Forsyth. And, it's just rhetoric. It doesn't have any enforcement arm. A powerful state doesn't have to listen to it. They could use it, but they don't have to listen to it. So I'm not sure about it when it comes to enforcement of anything. So, but in Gaza, I think it's fairly clear. Now you mentioned before on the Gaza situation, the American forces. Well, you're not going to see any American forces in Gaza. The U.S. is not going to get involved in a war of attrition that it really can't supply, especially since it's building up all over the world elsewhere. Remember, ammunition and all this stuff is at critical levels, thanks to Ukraine. But unfortunately, the list here, the peace group, it's, I think, almost exclusively Jewish. And that really, really bothers me. Certainly they have no, how can a Jewish organization, Jewish billionaires, have any right whatsoever to call themselves impartial or apolitical when it comes to dealing with Gaza or anything else for that matter? And of course, you're not allowed to say that in mainstream media, but it's very obvious. Even Mark Rowan, it doesn't sound Jewish, but he is a billionaire. That's my problem here. But I don't know. I don't mind the ICC and UN having some competition outside of the Gaza thing.
Well, that could be a good thing. I mean, as you say, there are genuine criticisms of the United Nations. But I think where this is actually coming from is criticism of what the United Nations has said about Israel. And in a lot of cases, I mean, the UN has actually held back on its criticism of Israel. And you could be a lot more critical of Israel. But I think that's the main reason for this is Donald Trump seeing the UN as being anti-American and anti-Israel. Moving on to the next article that we have from Global Research, and this is about the peace resolution outlines that were actually leaked just before the Davos conference the other day, where Trump signed this declaration. The resolution, which is the first of its kind from the Board of Peace, details the structure of a US-backed governing authority that would assume full legislative, executive, and judicial control over Gaza, including emergency powers. The stated goal of the Board of Peace is to transform Gaza into a de-radicalized and demilitarized terror-free zone that does not pose a threat to its neighbors. The draft resolution formalizes a hierarchical structure for the Board of Peace, with Trump as the chairperson and an executive board that has the same authority, powers, and ability to make all delegations necessary and appropriate to carry out the comprehensive plan as the Board of Peace. The executive board has the power to enact new law or modify and repeal prior civil and criminal laws in Gaza. So there's two things there that I want to pick up on. I mean, it's saying here that it's US backed. Now, I'm assuming that would mean US military backed. I mean, how else are they going to assume this control? And the second part there is where it says here that they can enact new laws or modify prior ones. So if they want to change the law, they will do. And I guess the third point is where it talks about making sure that they don't pose a threat to their neighbors. So they're effectively saying that they don't want the Palestinians to be teaching the next generation of Palestinians that Israel was their enemy. I mean, they've said this all along, that they want to take over the schools. So this is effectively taking over everything the way that I see it here, but with American backing, Matt. So, I mean, I don't think that does exclude American boots on the ground, does it?
Well, there is an American general that's Jeffries, that's ahead of the goofy looking guy from Virginia Tech. Special forces at some point, I think. Where the men are coming from, I'm not entirely sure. Do American soldiers serve a private organization that's not part, really not a part of the U.S. government in the future? I don't think so. I don't know if they're going to be mercenaries or what. But again, remember, this is foreign affairs has never been Donald Trump's strong suit. You know, people vote for Donald largely because of his domestic agenda. You know, I mean, I back ICE 100%. But when it comes to this kind of thing, I think he's always over his head. But if you remember, we had a discussion before he went away, on the deal of the century in his first term with Jared Kushner. And it just, they wanted a Palestinian state, right? Except that they took away every aspect of sovereignty and statehood from Palestine. All security, everything, and all education, including the textbooks. It actually says in it that the textbooks will no longer talk about Israel as an enemy. Everything will be dictated. So this is long in coming. This goes back to that a plan, the deal of the century, a few years ago, and it's just now given slightly more academic sounding verbiage. And we're talking about here Section 8. Of the Charter, Governance Principles for New Gaza, 8.2, where it actually uses that phrase, no threat to its neighbors. But we also remember what Trump wanted to do. A few years ago, I spoke of and condemned quite loudly the desire to turn Gaza into exclusive waterfront homes for wealthy, especially wealthy Jews. And that's sort of implied in here, too. Those Palestinians that have nothing to do with Hamas are very few. Hamas was and is a popular organization, both militarily and in terms of a social service organization. They're like, Hezbollah in Lebanon. It's more than just a military group. It's a social services group. And they're the only ones who seem to be capable of actually delivering any kind of aid whatsoever. Although with Syria, with Assad gone, it's become far more difficult. the verbiage is you know, the demonstrated history of collaboration, infiltration, or influence with or by Hamas or other terror groups or banned from. Well, you know, how they're going to define that? It reminds me of Reconstruction in the American South. Anyone having anything to do with the Confederate government couldn't vote. That was a lot of people. And they're just going to bus Palestinians in from other, you know, from the U.S. or anywhere else that are, that's going to be willing to work for a salary. And you know, make believe that there's going to be, there's no Palestinians on the board so far. But, you know, this is just, again, this also implies that Israel has defeated Gaza and the U.S. can do what it pleases with it. Well, if that's the case, then Israel wouldn't be retreating, wouldn't be pulling its forces back. You know, people forget. Now, I don't know if the law is still in effect after the missile exchange with Iran, the so-called 12-day war. You know, Iran won that handily, and they hit so much of Israeli infrastructure. You weren't allowed to take pictures or videos and put it on social media. And since so much money is leaving the country, you know, Israel's probably in the worst spot it's ever been. And here you have Donald Trump speaking as if the war's over and we're going to go in and clear the rubble and do whatever we want. And beyond that, you know, domestically, Trump, I back him in a lot of different areas. I do, especially with the immigration and stuff like that. But in terms of this, the U.S. And especially this group, this Jewish group is in no position to pretend that it's a neutral. No one's going to support it. This is just simply going to be another version of the armored Israeli caterpillar tractors, you know, getting rid of rubble and setting up a casino, one big Atlantic city on the coast, and, of course, taking all of Gaza's gas. By the way, I should note that I think one of the reasons that Netanyahu went after the judiciary, which got him, you know, the huge before the war started, which got to develop those huge demonstrations against him, including, you know, right wingers, was because the Supreme Court of Israel said that that gas belongs to Gaza, belongs to Palestine, not to Israel. The Supreme Court is always a thorn in the side of the Likudniks. And you know, he's in so much trouble, not just as a war criminal, but also as a domestic criminal. You know, Israel is in, not just in terms of the money, military, or anything else, but it's such a divided state now. Netanyahu has been an utter, complete disaster. And remember what he's on trial for. Media, of all things, media influence, trying to pay different newspapers, Jewish newspapers, to say that he was a wonderful man, among other things. And all, you know, among, you know, more, far more serious things too. If this war stops, he may end up in prison in one thing or another. You know, there's no Israel to flee to when you're in Israel.
Well, I remember before when we were talking about this before, and we did that podcast that you were referring to, and we were talking about Jared Kushner's proposals, if I remember right. What they were going to do is they were going to pay the Palestinians billions and billions of dollars in investments. And then, as you say, they would have control over security, have control over the school books. And I can remember saying at the time, they're foolish for not taking that, because they're going to get that anyway. And either they'll pay for it or they'll use the military and they will just flatten Gaza. And then they'll still put that ban in place. And here we are. 4 years later, I guess, because this plan came out in Trump's last term. And they've done exactly that. They've completely flattened Gaza. And now, instead of getting these billions of dollars, the Gazans have just got a pile of rubble. And now this plan is just going to be instituted anyway. And I was criticized at the time. And I know it's unjust and it's unfair. But surely that would have been much better way of doing things, that, you know, all of these Palestinians wouldn't be dead and they would have a lot of money. But of course, it would have meant that they had to stop fighting Israel and take the money, which of course that they wouldn't do. And now we're in this situation where it's all rubble and the same plan is being put in place. And this is why Jared Kushner is on the board. I've heard people questioning, why is Jared Kushner on the board? Well, he's on the board because he was the Middle East envoy in Trump's first term. So he does have experience of working for the American administration as a go-between with Israel. That's why he's involved in this. Getting back to the quotes here, the resolution lists the 9 members of the executive board, 7 that were already announced by the White House on January 16th, plus 2 more who have not been publicly named. The previously announced members are Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, former UK Prime Minister and war criminal Tony Blair, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, businessman Mark Rowan, World Bank President Ajay Banga, and Deputy National Security Advisor Robert Gabriel. The 2 new names revealed in the document are Trump's Chief of Staff, Susan Wiles, and Martin Edelman, a real estate attorney and a special advisor to the government of the United Arab Emirates. There will also be a Gaza Executive Board, which includes several of the same members serving in an advisory capacity. The draft resolution would also establish a National Committee for the Administration of Gaza, NCAG, described as a vetted, technocratic, apolitical committee of Palestinians operating strictly under the supervision of a high representative. And the high representative is named as Nikolai Mladenov, former Bulgarian defense and foreign minister and a former UN envoy to the Middle East. The NCAG would be led by Ali Shath, a former Palestinian Authority government official. No Palestinians were included on the Board of Peace, although Trump did give a spot to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who remains under war crimes indictment and is subject to an arrest warrant by the International Criminal Court. The board, which critics say is an attempt to circumvent any meaningful UN oversight or even to position itself as a privatized alternative to the world body, envisions operating in an environment where it answers exclusively to Trump. It is sadly the case that neither the Board of Peace nor its subordinate structures are representative or accountable. This may be seen in the untrammeled power of the chairman, Mr. Trump himself, the former United Nations Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and now Executive Director of Mediation Group International, Martin Griffiths, told DropSite. And DropSite is where we're getting this information from. Advanced look at the resolution. He added that this imbalance is most evident in the resolution's treatment of Palestinians, whose involvement is reduced to the lowest and most technical level. Now, I don't think that's quite true, because I mean, it just told us that the people that would be enacting all of this would actually be Palestinian. Just said that this NCAG would be led by a former Palestinian Authority government official. And it just says also that it will be a vetted, technocratic, apolitical committee of Palestinians. So the committee that takes the instructions from Donald Trump's Board of Peace would actually be Palestinians. So there is some mention of them there, but they're not actually responsible for deciding anything. And as you pointed out earlier, Matt, how are they going to find Palestinians that are apolitical and had nothing to do with Hamas?
Can you imagine being a Palestinian right now and not despising Israel? This Ali Shaaf has got to be one of the most hated men as soon as this gets out and gets read in the area. And the fact that he worked for the Palestinian Authority at one point means that Hamas is going to go, their popularity is going to go through the roof, since this is going to destroy whatever reputation the Palestinian Authority ever had. It's a disaster. I don't know if it's strategic, but it's an absolute disaster for the PA. Matt, you know, it reminds me of the drug dealing Afghan government that the U.S. installed that collapsed immediately when the U.S. military left. You know, they were representative of nothing. You know, if this is Ali Shaaf is was going to be absolutely going to be considered a traitor by pretty much every living Palestinian. I don't know much about him, but now you have the terms are vetted, meaning that you can't have any contact with Hamas or any group like that. You have to be pro-U.S. and probably educated in the U.S., technocratic, apolitical. I don't how could they be apolitical? If there's anything more, there's nothing more political than this situation. Whatever you cobble together, you're probably going to get Palestinians living in foreign countries coming in to do this. And this is absolute nonsense. They're going to be the most unpopular people in the area. So Hamas's popularity is going to go absolutely through the roof. Now, the UN, the one thing the UN did well over the years is aid. And that's why the Israeli government kept them out of Gaza. When Israel invaded Lebanon, which is just a terror invasion, they really didn't do anything. One of their main targets were UN positions. They destroyed the UN presence in South Lebanon. They attacked every base, you know. Which, you know, should have gotten more attention than it did. But I don't know what he means by when he says privatize alternative to the world. But isn't the UN, is the UN private? It's not a government, really. Why does the UN have, you know, I didn't vote for the UN. Why does the UN have a right to oversee anything? But again, I want to see a lot of what Trump's doing beyond Gaza. Yes, this is genocide. I rarely use the term, but I started using it when this war started. But if it is a alternative to the UN and the ICC, maybe that's a good thing, not for the Middle East, but for the rest of the world, because Trump wants this to be a global body, not just for Gaza and Israel in the Middle East. But so beyond this, it may be a positive thing. But he's right, of course, you know, reduce the lowest and most technical level. There is no mercy here on them. And anyone who takes this job at NCAG is going to be, he may even be killed. It will destroy whatever popularity the Palestinian Authority ever had.
Well, the draft resolution states that only those persons who support and act consistently to create a de-radicalized, terror-free Gaza that poses no threat to its neighbors will be eligible to participate in governance, reconstruction, economic development, or humanitarian assistance activities in Gaza. So, I mean, it's effectively saying, unless you support all of this, you're not going to get any humanitarian assistance. It bars from participation any individuals or organizations deemed to have supported or have a demonstrated history of collaboration, infiltration, or influence with or by Hamas or other terror groups. It does not make clear how these determinations will be made, but that the executive board and the high representative will create eligibility standards for participation in the development of New Gaza and apply those on a case-by-case basis subject to Trump's approval. Both Israel and the US have repeatedly denounced, without credible evidence, UN agencies and non-governmental organizations as fronts for Hamas or enablers of terrorism. The Board of Peace draft would establish humanitarian zones and controlled civilian protection corridors patrolled by the International Stabilization Force. Access would be restricted to individuals approved by the Executive Board and the High Representative, with boundaries set according to unspecified operational and security requirements. The temporary ISF would be led by US Major General Jasper Jeffers, with the board's chairman, Trump, solely authorized to approve or replace commanders, as well as to approve future lead nations. Well, they must have some people, some troops that are actually going to make up this international stabilization force. Do you know anything about that, Matt?
Well, technically, it's a UN force, but it's not going to be under UN command. You know, Jeffries is still a fairly young man, but you know, we already discussed the whole, you know, if you're a Gazan and you've seen your country annihilated and everyone you know killed, you're not going to trust anybody from the West. I don't care who they are. Who's going to participate in governance, economic development? Nobody. They're not going to exist, or they're going to be, you know, professors of literature at Rutgers or University of London, maybe, at best. And yeah, I already mentioned, you know, how these determinations are going to be made. You know, the U.S. permitted, you know, there is no government in Syria, but the terror group that took over was on the terror list in the U.S. right up until they took over, HTS. So, you know, these terms are absolutely meaningless. How many Gazans are going to be able to pass this able to be vetted, as he says. It's hilarious to say that the UN was a front for Hamas when, of course, they were destroyed in Lebanon. I've never known a war since World War II that deliberately targeted UN aid centers. And that's exactly what, peace centers. They killed a whole bunch of UN soldiers there, a bunch from Indonesia in one place. I wrote about that last year at some point. Now, they're also not going to trust humanitarian zones and controlled civilian protection corridors, because it wasn't that long ago that they were getting shot in these controlled civilian protection corridors. So it doesn't matter who makes up the stabilization force. You know, this body is very Jewish and very Israeli, and I don't think anything's going to change. Anything going to change here at all? And remember, Jasper Jeffers, as I mentioned before, is not a name that I knew of before. So he's more of a technocratic type. But what he's able to do comes under Donald Trump's command anyway. And it just, you know, as far as this applies to Gaza, this is an utter and complete disaster. There's simply no other way to put it. And it's a way to rationalize genocide and calling Hamas a terror group after what's happened over the last 2 years is you know, typical Jewish thinking in my mind.
You're not allowed to defend yourself, are you? That's the point. You're not allowed to defend yourself. Well, the resolution states that no one will be forced to leave Gaza, and that those who wish to leave will be free to do so and free to return to Gaza. It also makes clear that access to resources, aid, and political participation in Gaza will be conditional on compliance with the comprehensive plan and the authority of the board. If we actually go to the policy here, 8.3, they say the people of Gaza shall be encouraged to take advantage of this opportunity to build a prosperous and peaceful new Gaza, and the reconstruction and rehabilitation activities of the board shall be dedicated solely to those who regard Gaza as their home and place of residence, full stop. No one will be forced to leave Gaza. Those who wish to leave will be free to do so and free to return to Gaza. So, I mean, it does say that this is being done solely for the people of Gaza, or the people who regard Gaza as their home and as their place of residence. And I guess maybe you might get some Jews that say, well, it's their place of residence as well. But at least, you know, at least they're saying that it is actually being done for the Palestinians, not just being done for Israelis or American companies. Griffiths criticized the resolution for reducing Palestinians to implementers of the decisions of others, leaving them once again not at all the masters of their own fate. while Israel, he said, has a place at the top tables. Palestinians are deprived and excluded. They are nowhere to be found. Griffiths added, except at the very bottom of this pyramid of power. The resolution states all its provisions would be enacted immediately upon signature. And this was unveiled at Davos at the World Economic Forum. And Donald Trump proudly signed the resolution. So it is now being signed into being, and it's all in place, apparently. I believe Britain refused to take part because they said that Putin was one of the people that was going to sign on. And how could Putin be on a board of peace? I'm not quite sure whether Putin is on there. I do know that Belarus have signed up to this, which I was quite surprised at, to see that Belarus is there. But Britain is not yet there, but this is all going ahead. Matt, what are your final thoughts on this today?
Well, yeah, I read about the Putin connection. I think he's simply trolling them. He certainly has the money. If anyone who has supported Hamas over the last decade or more, it's been Russia under him, under Vladimir Putin. He accepted the election results of 2006 and has condemned Israel, although, you know, in muted terms, but clearly has condemned Israel along with Turkey for what's happened since then. But everything that Griffiths says here is true. You know, this is a Jewish organization. The very fact that they mention that Palestinians will be on it in writing, but that is for the Palestinians on a piece of paper, doesn't mean anything. We know how the U.S. treats these kind of documents. This is, you know, you see the list of people who run this thing. Donald Trump and then a whole group of almost all Jews underneath, all billionaires underneath, many of whom have no real knowledge of the area. Which again, you know, I have a paper out where I quote heavily from Kushner trying to talk about the Middle East at, I think it was Princeton. And the kid's semi-literate. I mean, I had to go in and make punctuation for him. It was so bad. You know, even Witkoff, I mean, what does he know? But every one of these people are either Jewish or fanatical Zionists. And the, you know, Palestinians don't have sovereignty. They have no right to be where they are. They were never offered, as far as the deal of the century, as far as the document of that, they were never offered money. Although it's possible that Qatar and UAE may have, but whether they were going to give it or not is another matter. The only reason they have anything there is because of the Gulf states. But that has to go through Israel, too. You know, I'm sure there's a few millionaire Palestinians in the world they could find and claim that these are our Palestinian members. That's going to be about it. Not going to grab some, you know, how can you possibly have anyone who's going to trust or support this group in Gaza after everything that's happened? So the whole thing is laughable at its face. Besides the fact that Israel they're at a stalemate. Hamas has in essence defeated them. The last few peace treaties, Israel's had to pull away, not Hamas. They have the support of the population. You know, locals are telling Hamas where the Israelis are during battles and things like that. Hamas has been extraordinary in their bravery and their ability to fight back. Now they could, you know, as they run, you know, they could handle armor, they could handle air attacks. The whole tunnel system was meant to be a compensation for the lack of an air force, and that's worked as well. But I always said that, you know, the invasion of Lebanon, to go in and just start slaughtering UN people, that's both desperation, and it proves that Israel is simply a terror state. And will use terrorism wherever it can be. This exists only in this document, and what it wants to do, that's in the realm of fantasy right now.
Well, as you say, let's try and look on the bright side of it. Let's hope it does provide a challenge to the UN, even if it fails with regards to administrating Gaza. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you, and I will have Grandpa Dan as my co-host. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Albion. At Radio Albion.